Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with the very famous Shelley Fraser Mickle. She has been an NPR commentator and a fabulous friend to public broadcasting, but she's also an incredible author. And she is the author of a new book called Itching to Love, The Story of a Dog. So thank you so much for being here today. And I know this is not just a story about a dog, it's a memoir, and it shares your family history. So let's hear a little bit more about your new book, just released on March 11th, correct?
Right. It's a pleasure to be here, and you've been a friend to me for a long time, so it's
You're
great.
Easy to be a friend to, let's put it that way.
So anyway, I need to warn you that I was raised by a mother who lived every day as if she were on an episode of I Love Lucy. And when she sent me to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, I had to come home with a funny story. It was not the bread she needed, it was the story. She suffered from depression her whole life, and her elixir was humor and comedy. So that's where I come from. And with this book, my memoir, I'm on a mission. I want us to get back to reaching out for each other with little stories we live and collect and make people, each other, smile. Because coming out of the pandemic, we suffered from so much mental distress and loneliness. And now with the divide in our politics, we need to get back to reaching out for each other and sharing stories. Mark Twain said that humor is the saving thing. When it pops up, it smooths out all of our hardnesses, and our grievances and irritabilities fly away. So he brought out the jumping frog of Calaveras County in the last few days of the Civil War. And when it was published in all the nation's newspapers, people took it as a sign that it was all right to start laughing together. So my epigraph in this new book is from Norman Cousins, who wrote the book The Anatomy of an Illness. And the book that I love the most is called Head First, The Biology of Hope. And he points out that there are over 30 secretions that the brain can release when we laugh to make our bodies increase our immune systems, and also that there is a morphine-like release of chemicals that can treat us in terms of, you know, when people go to medical school, they learn to treat disease, but very little is known about how the body can repair itself. So part of that is in my book and my memoir, and I'm promising that the book will give you at least one laugh, and then if that doesn't succeed, into more. At the back of the book are recipes. My publisher has said, being a Southern woman, you're bound to be a good Southern cook. And I said, no, I hate to cook. And she said, well, we think that it would help this book if there were recipes at the back. So I decided to, yes, I need to say this, because I'm married to a wonderful person who trained in pediatric neurosurgery at Harvard. And when I married him, my mother said, if you don't cook his supper every night, you're on the short list for eternal damnation.
Oh, my. So, kind of sums it up.
Yeah. So I really learned to feed him every night. And over that time, I've become a pretty good cook in terms of I can sling hash and rustle grub. So one of the first recipes in the back of the book is pork chops for exhausted neurosurgical residents. And in that recipe, I reached back into my memory, in which my husband brought home a fellow resident, and I had a package of 8 pork chops, and I thought I would cook them that night so I wouldn't have to cook the next night. There would be things left over. Instead, they ate them all. So I still had to cook. But
it must be good then. They ate it all.
Yeah. So I did learn to be a pretty good cook, but the first direction in that recipe is to get a rolling pin and beat the hell out of the chops. So anyway,
I like those kind of instructions. They never really say that, you know.
And you're a good cook. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me, but usually it's not put in those terms. It's the a little point, more subtle.
Yeah, I'm pretty blunt. And so anyway, this book is intended to be a humorous book to get you laughing and to enjoy every minute that you're alive. And so that's what I'm doing. I recently wrote a narrative history about Theodore Roosevelt's daughter, Alice, who drove him absolutely nuts. And I realized in that, I did so much research, T.R. Roosevelt said he took a bite out of life and let it dribble down his chin. So I'm hoping in this book, Itching to Love, you will reignite your humor, your sense of humor of living every day, collecting a little story that you can pass on to someone else. One of my favorites recently is I gave a talk to the Friends of the Library about this very thing, collecting stories and sharing them to each other. And a woman came up afterward and she said, I wanted to share this with you. My mother is in Alabama. She's 100 years old. And yesterday she went to the doctor. And I was eager to know how that doctor visit had gone. So I called her up and she said, oh, it was perfectly awful. It was horrendous. He looked terrible. But I often share that when I'm checking out at the grocery store. Little things like that that make you laugh. Because when we laugh, we're actually encouraging our bodies to repair themselves. So this memoir is about that. And I hope to hear from you after you read it. I have a website now, thanks to my publicist who made me get one. I didn't want to. But I put a lot of crazy things on there, so it might be more than about me and the book. It's shellymickle.com, and you can contact me if you want to do a book club discussion or talk about any form of humor after reading this book, or your own dog stories. We'll get into the dog story next.
That's true. Well, laughter is the best medicine. And right now, I think you've cheered up everybody in the control room, in this room, everywhere, because you always have a great smile and a great laugh. So I'm glad you pursued this book. I know you've done other books and other essays, but you have a whole lot of energy for a young woman, I might
add. Thank you. Well, I fell in love with writing when I was 5 years old. My grandmother's husband died in the 1918 flu epidemic, so she came and stayed long times with us to dull her loneliness. And my nickname was the Screaming Mimi, which is the name of a World War II bomb. And I think my grandmother feared that I might be the first woman in the family to go to prison, so she started taking me to church every time the doors opened. And there in Sunday school, I suddenly realized I heard stories that were older even than my grandmother. So there must be something about stories we need. They were like air or water, or for a woman, a good purse.
You know, I think we need a lot of stories, and we need a lot of stories from Shelley Fraser Mickle. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about this book and some of the other books you've done.
Sure.
But this book is it's going to be a cherished edition for anybody who gets it. So we're going to come back in just a few minutes and talk more about Itching to Love, The Story of a Dog by Shelley Fraser Mickle. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner, here today with Shelley Fraser Mickle, an incredible author, and she's here with a memoir, Itching to Love, The Story of a Dog, which was just published on March 11th. It's available on Amazon and various booksellers. As always, another collectible book that you want to have in your repertoire. So, Shelley, thanks for being here, and give us a little bit of info on the dog.
Oh, yeah, it's time to talk about Buddy and how he came into my life. So you see, a lot of people know this, but I'm married to a brain surgeon. And when our kids grew up and moved out and left us, I decided to reawaken my childhood dream of becoming a cowgirl. So at the time that Buddy came into my life, I was the owner of two horses, Skip and Robert Redford. And you can guess which one was the Palomino. So anyway, one day I was tacking up in the barn, and I was had my horse's galloping boot on the floor getting ready to put it in. And Buddy was my neighbor's dog across the street. And when the neighbor went to work, Buddy often dug out from his fence and skulked around my property. And so on this particular day, he ran to the barn and picked up the galloping boot and ran off with it. Now, that galloping boot cost me $70, so I was outraged and chased him home. And his owner always left up the garage door about a foot for Buddy to get out of the rain or whatever. So I pushed up the garage door, and there in the corner, Buddy sat with the galloping boot in his mouth. And I told him to spit it out, and he did reluctantly. And then I saw next to his feed bowl a lot of my things that he had stolen, and he was hoarding them. There was a towel I'd left in the barn with my wiped sweat on it, and a shirt, and a comb, and a water bottle. And the next thing that happened was, well, I need to add this. You know, I'm now 81 years old, and over my lifetime, I've had a lot of weird boyfriends, but I've never had the obsessive adoration that Buddy was offering me. So the next thing that happened was his owner called me, and he had been divorced a few years before. And he said, I'm getting married again, and my new wife has this dog that Buddy instantly beat up. Would you take Buddy? So what kind of a dilemma is that? If I didn't take him, I could be charged with the breakup of a marriage. But I didn't want that because it didn't matter because Buddy had already stolen my heart. So this book is basically about the 10 years I spent with Buddy, but it's more than that because I wanted to answer the question, what did he see in me that I did not see in myself? So it became a search for that answer. And basically, this becomes a metaphor then for how we bridge all the differences, the species of canine with Homo sapien, any kind of division between us as human beings. It becomes abled, disabled, man, woman, all these divisions. How do we bridge them? And that's the question that we're living with today, every day. And so I delve into the philosophies, even the founding fathers. You know, I became very interested in Thomas Jefferson because he wrote the Declaration of Independence, and he suffered all the slings and arrows that all of us writers do. Did you know that he was requested to make some 80 revisions to the Declaration of Independence?
Wow.
It drove him crazy.
Quite the editor.
Yeah. And even till the day he died, he said they massacred his Declaration of Independence. But the founders were always worried, what's going to hold us together? Because we didn't share an ancestry or a religion. And so what is it that would make us be one people willing to trust each other? And so it turns out the belief is in the Declaration of Independence. And then a lot of people don't know or remember that John Adams defended in court the British soldiers from the Boston Massacre because he wanted to set the example that this new nation would require equality under the law. He defended murderers who killed the early Americans because they couldn't be proven to who really fired the first shot. And were they really liable under the law? So it brings back, as I tried to figure out and understand why Buddy chose me, we go into all these other areas of who we are as Americans. Now, I'm going to share with you this because I come at the end of the book to the epiphany. And I used to say that if I tell you this in Godfather talk, I'd have to kill you. But the purpose of this book is actually the journey of how I get there. So this is the wonderful thing I found out, because I lean towards science. And so when I started looking into the science of how canines are different from us, I learned this fact. Dogs have different eyesight than we do. They have fewer photoreceptors in their retina, and their eyes let in more light, and that's why they can hunt at night, and also why in photographs of them, their eyes are frequently glowing. And I learned that when they can't see anything really clearly up close, they step back and gaze at our faces. And so when you get this book, you will see three photographs of Buddy staring at my face. And these are not cell phone photographs. These are old photographs. And when I found those, I said, my gosh, he never looked away from my face. He was just staring at me all the time. And it turns out that when dogs stare at our faces, they read our emotions. They may be the most emotionally intelligent creatures on earth. And Buddy was seeing in my face that I missed my children. And since he was mostly a bulldog, he was hardwired to take care of someone and to be the center of their life. And I needed someone to be the center of my life. So it turns out that Buddy and I were a perfect match.
Oh, that is wonderful.
So if you tell anybody that, Sue, I'll have to kill you.
You know, only a couple hundred thousand of your closest friends would have heard that story. But otherwise, you don't need to worry about it. Your secret is safe with me.
Thank you. But the point is, how I get there is the fun of the book.
So where is this book available if people want to get a copy right now?
Absolutely everywhere, in every bookstore and online and through my website, shellymickle.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And it's Mickle, like pickle, but with an M, Mickle, okay. M-I-C-K-L-E.com. And there's a lot of fun things on that website, such as this. I'll tell you this secret. It's not so much a secret anymore. But since I was 5 years old and decided to be a writer, I was always writing. And so when I had young children, I had a basket of cookies under my desk, and I would throw them one to get a few more minutes to work on this manuscript that I worked on for like 7 years. And after 7 years, it was my first novel. I had 600 pages, and a friend of mine gave it to Lewis Rubin. And I did not know who Lewis was until I read an article in the New York Times that he was the greatest living editor since Maxwell Perkins, who edited Hemingway, Fitzgerald, and our beloved Florida writer, Marjorie Rawlings. So he wrote me a letter, and he said, I've been reading this 600-page tome, and some of it is the most god-awful stuff I've ever read. And then I come to a part where I start laughing, and I can't stop. So here's the $300 check. If you will work with me, which I did for the next 2 or 3 years, he said we might get something that's publishable. But he made it clear to me that if I have any talent at all, it would be in writing humor. So with this memoir, I decided to go back to what he told me was my greatest strength. And I'll tell you this because I think it's funny. I hope you think it's funny. I had to wait to write my memoir until everybody in my family was dead. And then I had to make it really short because I had to live long enough to write the last page.
Well, there you go. Well, you heard it here first. It's Itching to Love, The Story of a Dog. It's a memoir by Shelley Fraser Mickle. So, Shelley, thanks for being here today. And we're going to put information about the book and how to get it on our website so people can enjoy it.
Perfect.
Time
thank
after
you,
time.
Sue.
Thank
it's
you.
It's always a great pleasure to be with
it's
you.
It's great fun. I love to laugh. So thank you.
That was author and former NPR commentator Shelley Fraser Mickle on today's episode of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at wuft.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT Media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.